Good morning, everybody. It's really good to see you all here. It's brill. What a beautiful sunny day. And we're welcoming people from Holland and Oxford and Liverpool and, well, Osney Crescent as well. And it's really good to see you all here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming into a place of worship with people who are pleased to see us, making us feel at home, showing us what you're like. You're pleased to see us. You make us feel at home. Lord, we pray today that we may worship you in spirit and truth. We may hear your voice. We may respond with our hearts, all of us. Every one of us, both those in the building and those watching online, today or later. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Amen. Right. Just to prove that we're alive, we have notices, which is really good. Just a reminder that, and I will mention this again later on in the service, at the end of the service on a Sunday morning, we have a prayer ministry team, people who are trained to come alongside and pray with you. Not so much pray for you, but pray with you. And if there are things that come up during the service today, there are things you will actually, I need somebody just to come alongside and help me pray this through, then do come to the front afterwards. And people, we've got yellow volunteer lanyards around are our trained prayer people. Like, yes, thank you, Josie. Excellent. Also a reminder that there's been a call to prayer and fasting in June on Tuesdays. Whether that's foregoing one meal, three meals, foregoing social media, whatever it might be, setting aside time to pray. And we had a wonderful prayer meeting last Tuesday as people shared together the things that God has been saying. And although the initial sort of catalyst or impetus for this prayer and fasting was to pray for myself and Leslie, and we're very grateful for that. It's much more than that. It's about hearing what God is saying and the advance that he wants to make in the kingdom. And so that's what prayer and fasting is all about, listening to God, praying for his kingdom to come, his will to be done. There is information on the table outside about praying and fasting and so on, some guidelines, some help and so on, particularly for people who've never done that before, thinking, what do I do, what do I not do? Either talk to me or Mark or Louise, or as I say, there are notes on the table. Next week we have Messy Church, and today you can tell Rowena that you're coming, because Rowena is with us here. Yes! Being the shy, retiring person that Rowena is, that's the last time I'll mention her in the service, promise. But the another shy person is Dennis. I'm just going to get... And this is Dennis Sayegh's last Sunday with us, because he's going back to Dorset. I mean, really, what's Dorset got that Devon hasn't got? Can you just tell when you're going?
I'm selling my bungalow on the 24th of June, but I'll be leaving by about the 21st.
Okie doke. So 21st, so that's a week Friday.
A week on Friday. Yeah.
And how long have you been here?
I've been in painting for 10 and a half years, and I've been coming to this church since April 2014.
Wow. So 10 years.
Yeah.
Thank you for being part of the family for 10 years. I'm going to just pray for you, if that's all right.
Fine, yeah.
If like people just want to stretch out a hand towards Dennis, that'd be great. Father, we thank you for Dennis's love for you, his devotion to you. We thank you for his love of your word. We thank you for the times we've heard him read your word. We thank you for the new gifts that you've given him, particularly in recent years, as he's played his part in encouraging us to start the Alpha course and then serving on it. Lord, we do pray your blessing on Dennis, that he will find a place prepared, a church family, a home, friendships, and opportunities to witness to you. Lord, we thank you that we are held tightly in your hands. And we pray that he will go in peace and joy, in the power of the Holy Spirit, overflowing with hope. Amen. Bless you, Dennis. My wife's directed me where to go, which is very helpful, because I'm a bear of very little brain, as we know. Walking up the street thinking about this service and how we start and the songs that we start, this word from Luke's Gospel came to mind. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley should be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. How do we prepare the way for the Lord? We can repent, we can say sorry for the things we've done wrong. And as you come to worship today, you may be very mindful of something that you know you need forgiveness for. Just ask him and be forgiven. Don't wait till later on in the service. Get it done now. Then you can enjoy the rest of the service. But particularly the way we prepare the way for the Lord is in worship. And I'm going to invite you now, if you're able to stand. And we're going to sing a song without words that I think you'll soon catch on. It's not that one. That's the one we're going to go straight on to after the first one. So if you'd like to stand, we'll start our worship time.
ですよね。
Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bless you. Amen. Bless you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, we put our trust in you and no one else. We declare our trust in you, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Could I have our readers, please, to come up? And Andrew as well, thank you. Right, let's pray for these guys because they're going to be reading God's Word and preaching God's Word. Children, I need you to listen to this story because I've got an activity based upon it, which I think you're going to enjoy, and we're going to enjoy seeing what you do. But let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have your Word. Thank you, have your Word, your Scripture here, right in front of us. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to hear your word. Anoint Andrew and Jean and Andrew as they speak your word and preach your word. Amen.
Right. Well, our reading is 1 Samuel chapter 17. And it's on page 288 in the church Bibles. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socho in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damim between Socho and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and take these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit and see how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines."
And we move on to verse 25. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's eldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" Then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, Go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran.
If you weren't awake before, you are now. Thank you, Jean and Andrew, for bringing this word to life. Right, we've got children at the back, we've got children at the front. I'll just take these down here and I'll bring a couple back for you, Connie. Right. So, children, today, you're very good at doing your drawings, but you can also put some words on if you want to. David, what did Saul offer David to fight Goliath with? What did he give him? A sword and his armor and everything else. And David tried, but it wasn't used to them. So he said no. So one picture I want you to draw is David with all that armor on and the javelin and the sword, you know, whatever. But then he said, no, I don't need that. It's the Lord Almighty who's going to win this. You have come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. What did David have to fight Goliath with? A stone and a sling. 5 smooth pebbles and a sling. So 2 pictures. You can use 2 cards or 1 card. And I'd like you just to think about, what it applies to us. Do we try and get through life with all the strength and the armor that the world has, or are we trusting in God? So that's the reason for doing this. So 1 picture, David with all that armor that was no use to him and the javelin and the spear. And 1 picture with just the sling and the staff and the pebbles. Thank you very much for that. Okie doke. Wonderful. There you go, Connie. If you want to do that, you're very welcome as well. And they're there. Andrew, over to you.
As we start today a new series on looking at Old Testament incidents and principles we can learn, obviously we're doing probably one of the most well-known, not just in the Old Testament, in Scripture, is David and Goliath. It gets used so much today by the world. There's something about the little taking on the big and winning. It intrigues us all. If you're a football fan, you know we have the FA Cup and it could pit a little team against a big Premier team. One example might be our local team, Torquay United, and apologies if taking on Manchester United. And if Torquay win, what do they say? There's been a real giant killing, going back to David and Goliath. But it's happened in real life, and probably some of you have seen the drama Mr. Bates versus the post office, and it's the start of the struggle of one man, and it builds against the post office and the faulty computer system, and obviously there's the inquiry going on now, but it's a well-known passage. But we're just going to briefly go over what we've read and then look at principles we can learn. Goliath was an impressive man, and we're given what he was. Now, in the bottom of your Bible, you'll see his height, and in today's, it's about 3 meters. And if you wonder what that is, it's about the height of the cross. So if you want to, after the service, compare yourself to Goliath, come and stand by the cross. That'll give you an idea of just how tall he was. His armor weighed 57 kilos. I don't know what the heaviest thing you've ever had to wear is, but 57 kilos. Goliath was no small, thin, tall person. He would have been quite big to wear that amount of armor. His spear point was 7 kilos. He probably looked a very impressive man. But he was also very confident. The challenge he made: you choose a man, if he beats me, we become your servants. If I win, you become our servants. Very confident in his own ability. But what about David? We first read about him in chapter 16, when Samuel was sent to anoint a new king. After Jesse's other sons had all passed by and been rejected, Jesse said, "Oh, there's the youngest tending the sheep." David was sent for and was anointed king. Jesse sent David to take bread and grain to his brothers, and to the commander of his brother's unit, 10 cheeses, and to take back assurance. When he got there, he heard Goliath come out and shout his defiance. David then asked about what would be done for the man who kills him, about being given great wealth, the king would give his daughter in marriage. We're not told what the daughter thought of that. And also his father's family would be exempt from taxes. After a while, word must have got back to Saul because he heard about it. David said he was ready to fight. Saul was concerned about the age David was and about Goliath. Saul dressed David in his tunic and armor. David had to take them off because he wasn't used to them. Obviously, David went out, won the fight, cut off Goliath's head, and the Philistines ran. Now, David wasn't being arrogant about cutting off the head. It was a sign to show complete victory that the enemy had been killed, and it would have been taken back to Jerusalem to show that the enemy had been fully defeated. But we look at it through today and what we can learn from it in today's society, because it's very easy to get caught up in David and Goliath for so many thousands of years ago. What can it mean for us today? And first of all, Goliath. There are many Goliaths out in the world. They're perhaps not 3 meters tall, but they will try and seek to intimidate, use force, use whatever they can to put people off coming to know Jesus. Things like all religions go to heaven. You don't just have to go to church. If you're a Christian, why do you do this? Why not that? And of course, one of the biggest things at the moment, in particularly a lot of Islamic states, is countries who kill Christians just for turning. And a lot of Christians face ostracization from family, from communities, to against becoming a Christian. There are many Goliaths out in the world. They're the weapons Satan will use against each one of you to stop you coming here, to stop you believing. David was a shepherd doing what his father wanted. David went to the front line when he was sent by his father. He only obeyed what his father wanted. Are you obedient to know what God is saying to you? You've served your time, or I need you to move on now and do something else. Last year we prayed for Andy and Yuta, who were leaving West Africa, and we all thought, well, they'll come back and then through BMS they'll go to another country. But whilst they were back, they heard God's voice, and now they're going to be serving up in Bristol. But are you listening to what God is saying to you? David was ready. He spoke with his brothers and didn't get a good response. He spoke with others, then to Saul. He said his time being a shepherd had prepared him, because he knew how to kill lions and bears. It's quite interesting. David was no pushover. In his time, he had learned how to kill wild animals. We're fortunate in this country. We don't have many lions and bears roaming the street. But it's interesting. We often overlook that bit. David had learned how to kill. During his time being a shepherd, he had been trained through that to know how to kill. So when he saw Goliath, he wasn't afraid. His confidence was in God. Saul tried to dress David in his tunic and armor. David had to take it off. He wasn't used to it. You are all unique and special to God. Like Saul, the world will try and mold you to be the person they want you to be. Are you going to allow the world to change you or God to mold you? It's very easy to get caught up in the neighbor syndrome of, they've got a new car, we better get a new car. If you're a fan of Keeping Up Appearances, you know that was Hyacinth's thing. Whatever someone else had, she had to get it as well. But it's very easy to get caught up in that syndrome, the world. They've got it, you've got to have it. We're inundated with adverts all the time. You're nothing unless you've got this or that, or you buy this. There's nothing wrong with possessions, but are you seeking possessions first or God? Matthew 6:31-33. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Colossians 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will is. But the key verse, and remember I said earlier, the world knows David and Goliath, it's used quite a lot. But the key verse is the bit that the world actually leaves out, and it's verses 45-47, where David said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. David had a heart for God and his glory and for the nation. He couldn't do nothing. It takes a lot of time with God in prayer and Bible study to get that real confidence in God, but to have that real heart for God and for his glory, and when it comes to it, standing up for God when no one else will. 40 days and 40 nights Goliath had come out and shouted his defiance. No one either wanted to or just couldn't fight Goliath. We're not told why, that doesn't matter. But when David arrived, it was God who was at the center. David didn't look at Goliath. He didn't look at the others. He knew God, and the battle and the victory was God's already. Have you got that confidence in God that David had? Are you developing that real heart for God, for his glory on earth? Today, you can have that assurance because of Jesus' victory. Colossians 3:15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Last week, Mark shared Psalm 60:11-12. Give us aid against the enemy, for the help of man is worthless. With God, we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies. I wonder when he wrote this, if David remembered Goliath. And it was God, not man, who gave him that victory. Remember Jesus, I am with you always to the very end of the age, before he ascended, because he was victorious. Today, as we leave here, you can go out in that real assurance of Jesus. Are you aware of the giants trying to hold you back? Are you running in fear of them, or do you have that confidence that you have the victory over them because of Jesus? Are you allowing God to mold you or the world to mold you to be the person? Are you being weighed down with armor that doesn't suit you? Or are you allowing God to prepare you? Are you getting a heart for God, for his glory, his kingdom on earth? And are you going out standing in that victory of Jesus? Remember, God already has the victory.
Thank you, Andrew. As we were praying before the service, Sheila mentioned the song, The Battle Belongs to the Lord. And I said, oh, that turns out to be, that's the song we're going to be having after the message. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. We're going to worship with this song, and then we're going to spend some time to pray, because we do have giants that need slaying. We do have stuff going on, and the battle is the Lord's. So the worship prepares us for doing battle in prayer and giving God the opportunity to do what he wants to do. So this is unashamedly a favorite song, because it's just wonderful. And it's just brilliant, because it's true. And I'd encourage you, if you're able to stand in this song. Just thinking as Andrew was preaching, we heard that story read, that David is, of course, the ancestor of Jesus. And his defeat of Goliath is a picture for Jesus' defeat of Satan on the cross. So David and Goliath is a great picture. And I think, yes, it's really You know, I'm 5'10", but I'm not 9 foot. And we may well have stuff in our lives, whether it's stuff from the past or stuff happening right now, that seems that big, far too big for us to cope with. And the good news is we're not supposed to. The battle belongs to the Lord. And Jesus, as Andrew's reminded us, has already won the victory. By what he did on the cross, he has defeated the enemy. It's a matter of stepping into the victory that has already been won. So just in a time of quiet, bring to the Lord the giants in your life that need slaying. Sometimes it's helpful to actually physically do something. We'll have a bit of time. We've got plenty of time this morning. So I'll move to one side. And you might actually just want to walk up and lay the problem, the situation, the person. Giants come in all shapes and sizes. Particularly, they can come in people. They can also come in the lies of the enemy, who says you'll never be any good because of rubbish. There is forgiveness and grace available for us all. So let's be free today. Let's walk out today in a way we didn't walk in. Let's be free. And I'll pray and then give some time. Father, we thank you for this story, this true story, that gives us a very clear picture of how with nothing, just a stone, giants can be slain. Because you are fighting for us. The battle is the Lord's. We thank you, Jesus, that you have defeated the enemy, publicly humiliating him on the cross, because you willingly went there, forgiving people as you were being crucified, saving us completely. Lord, forgive us for struggling on our own. Forgive us for looking at the giant rather than looking at you. Lord, we want to be free. And I pray, Lord Jesus, now, that each person here will give to you their battles, their giants, and be set free. Amen.
Heavenly Father, it is so often that the evil one tries to find weaknesses in our armor, and often that is health issues, things which weigh us down, and things which trouble us, and things for which there seems to be no way out. But the battle belongs to you, Lord. And we pray again this morning for our brother Stephen, and we pray that the church will not be weakened, he will stay strong, and that you will perform a miracle in his life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you may be thinking, it can't be as easy as that. It struck me that this year, when reading the story, that Goliath taunted the Israelite army for 40 days. 40 days, he said. Come on then, come on. And they were scared stiff for 40 days. As soon as David arrived, he was gone. So however long the giants have been in your life, this is the day for them to be defeated. There is no need to wait any longer. If you need somebody to pray with you, as I've mentioned earlier, do come and sit at the front of the church afterwards, and people come alongside to pray with you. But Jesus went to the cross to defeat the enemy. So let's not stay in bondage and fear. Amen. We'll finish with yet not I, but Christ in me. And the offering first. My apologies. I've got it written down, but my bit of paper's not in front of me. Thank you, Eileen. Thank you, David. If you've come prepared to give, please give, but don't feel you need to. We're just pleased to see you. Thank you for the privilege of giving to your work, of your kingdom. And Lord, we do pray that through these gifts, your kingdom will come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That you would have the glory. Amen. I've something else I've forgotten to do. Sorry, I am all over the place. Children, have you got some pictures for us? Do you want to bring them up? Come on. Bring them up. Excellent. Let's have a look, see what we've got. It's a reminder to us. So thank you. We leave these pictures around so we can see. Thank you very much. David did not like his armor. David's armor was too much because he was not used to it. So he removed it. He preferred his normal clothes. And so he took 5 smooth pedals and a sling. He said, I can't go in these things. So he took them off. And because it's not about strength, it's about the Lord God in heaven. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Thank you. This is great. There's a man with a sword, and there's a man without a sword. So don't try and fight our battles in the world stuff. Have you got any others? Let's put these down here. Thank you very much. Can I have a look at this one? This is beautiful. This is you. A wonderful person. As Andrew says, everybody unique. So this is you, and you are special, just as God made you. Not like anybody else, just you. Wonderful. Thank you very much. We've got a lot of work on this. I'm not used to these. Go and use this armor. I've never done this. So, no use at all. Without armor, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Yes. Thank you very much. Great. Brilliant job. Well done. Thank you. Thank you very much. Do take a seat. We'll leave these here. As you all know, none of you remember the sermon, but you always remember the pictures. So have a look at the pictures. Finally, we get to Christ, which is about time, isn't it? Thank you. Lord Jesus Christ, send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.